Sanitizer in the foyer. I think somebody wanted hand sanitizer on every row, you know, or but we got it in the foyer if you need it. But a lot of us are just doing the old, instead of shaking hands, we're just doing the old fist bump. And so hey, no one's going to be offended if you just give somebody a fist bump. You know, another thing that helps too is hugs. Hugs are kind of course, your faces do get a little bit close when you give a hug, but we're abstaining from the holy kisses at this time. How's that sound? Abstaining from the holy kisses. But so we've been ministering along this subject line of contagion. And this coronavirus is all in the news, and some are worried about it. I don't know what, you know, it involves. They say that the flu is, you know, much more. There's always been viruses and sicknesses, and there's always things that will cause humanity's hearts to fail for fear. There's always something out there. But you know what? God is for us. Who can be against us? And we're going to make it, friends. No matter what we have to face, we're in the palm of His hand. Definition of contagion. Contagion is a contagious disease or virus that can be spread through direct or indirect contact. Indirect contact. That means it's on the shopping cart at Walmart. And that give you little wipes you got to wipe down. Amen. But or direct contact. Somebody sneezes or coughs in your face, you know, this or that. But that's not the definition of contagion that we are working with in our series. We're dealing with another definition of contagion, and that is an influence that spreads rapidly. Repito, an influence that spreads rapidly. I act like I know Spanish. I really don't. I probably even said that wrong. But, we want the work of God, the move of God to spread rapidly. We want the kingdom of light to spread rapidly. It's God's will for contagion in the kingdom of God to take place. Most contagions are easy to catch, but I'm ready to see the influence of Christ spread so rapidly. I'm ready to see more healthy churches established. I'm ready to see healthy, holy Christians spreading the aroma of Christ everywhere they go. I'm ready to see the pace of disciples being made for the glory of Christ. Oh, go like it has never gone before. Let's go to the Word today, 2 Thessalonians. We're going to start at 2 Thessalonians, and then we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 10 in both, just because I like them. Last week, we talked a little bit about the church of Colossae and the church of Ephesus, and both of these churches were contagious churches. Well, in the like manner, the Thessalonian church was a contagious church. And it was a church that was making inroads in the kingdom of darkness with the gospel of light. And so let's just see a little bit what was happening here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. How many of you got to have grace before you get peace? You can't have peace without the grace. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. You get more and more contagious. You get more and more spread-worthy because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds toward one another. We're spreading it around in Jesus' name. Verse 4, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. David understood that theology, didn't he? He said, God, take care of my enemies that are afflicting me, all these rotten scoundrels. Lord, you take care of them. God's going to take care of those that are afflicting you, friends. He'd rather save them. He'd rather see them reconciled and redeemed. But you know what? Sometimes our enemies aren't going to be redeemed. Sad. We want our enemies to be redeemed. God wants the enemies to be redeemed, but when they don't, He knows He's going to take care of them. Sad but true. Okay, verse 7. And to give you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Oh, we're excited about that, aren't we? Friends, He's coming, if it says in verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance. Come on, not everybody's going to heaven, friends. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power when He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. That was so good, I just wanted to read it. It doesn't have as much to do with our next passage that we're going to read right now. But that just blessed you today, didn't it? 2 Thessalonians 1 through 10. Now we're looking at 1 Thessalonians 1 through 10. Kind of mimics it a little bit. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians and God, the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. We're the people like we are among in this world for their sake. Amen. Verse 6, and you became followers of us. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Friends, we need to stand up in our society, stand up in our culture and be a leader. Stand up and be a leader. You might be the lowest one on the totem pole at your job, but be a leader for Jesus Christ. And you became followers of us and of the Lord. If you're following somebody, you better make sure they're following the Lord. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples. So that you became contagious. Contagion. That's what we're talking about. You were a contagion to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. Verse 8, for from you, cootie spread. For from you, the word of the Lord has sounded forth. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out. So that we don't need to spread it, because you already spread it. Well, we could have used that extra hour of sleep, couldn't we? Your faith in God, your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. Verse 9, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead. We're reminded of that because we observed a supper today. Even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, you'd be shocked for how short this... Oh, my word. I was shocked how short this... I said, you'd be shocked at how short this message is, but I'm shocked at how fast the time is flying today. Leslie took up all my time doing all that worship. No, I'm half through, seriously. There's more Bible reading than anything. But we want to be an agent of contagion. Hard as it is to believe, history tells us it's true that World War I claimed an estimated, 16 million lives. I know we're sitting here today worried about, 8 people that died in the United States from coronavirus. More have died in that time frame. We've been thinking about coronavirus. More have died of flu. The influenza epidemic, which was a flu that swept the world in 1918, killed an estimated 50 million people. Think about that. 1/5 of the world's population was attacked with this deadly virus. types of flu. Within months, it had killed more people than any other illness in recorded history. The plague emerged in two phases. It came on, but then it seemed like it receded. And then in the late spring of 1918, that three-day fever once again appeared without warning. And in that time, few deaths were reported. Victims recovered within a few days. But when the disease came on once again, when it resurfaced again that fall, it was even more severe. You know, these viruses, they kind of adapt. And that's what the epidemiologists are concerned about. They don't know how much the coronavirus is going to adapt and transform and become. They were thinking that the warm weather of the spring would help put it at bay, but they're thinking that with this coronavirus, it may be just the opposite. It may accentuate it. We don't know. Scientists, doctors, and health officials, when it came to this early 1900 event that was taking place, they could not identify the disease. It was striking so fast, so viciously. It was eluding treatment. It was defying control. Some victims died within hours of their first symptoms. Others succumbed after a few days. Their lungs would fill with fluid and they would suffocate to death. The plague did not discriminate. It was rampant in the urban areas. It was in the rural areas. And from the densely populated East Coast to the remotest parts of Alaska, it was there. Young adults, which even with the coronavirus, they're seeing more and more. It's the older population. I think Leslie told me yesterday the average age of 80 is the average age of 80 is the ones that are dying to the coronavirus. And most of us in here are under 80. Except for two or three of us. Don't raise your hand. No. So, and the reason why the elderly, let me take off my pastor hat and just talk to you as a friend. Let me encourage you. I think the stats are saying those that are, what happens, the elderly population is low in vitamin D. And so those that are low in vitamin D become more susceptible to disease. So let me encourage you, y'all, take your vitamin D. D3, take 5,000 milligrams every day. That's just my opinion. I'm not speaking from the Lord today. I'm just telling you my opinion. And I think you need to be taking 5,000 milligrams of vitamin D every day. And check with your doctor. Amen. I don't want to be liable for nothing, but there it is. Okay, but at this time, young adults were unusually affected by this infectious disease when they're normally not. The young adults are normally more resilient, but they were among the hardest hit. The flu affected over 25% of the U.S. population at that time. In 1 year, the average life expectancy of the United States dropped 12 years. And there are some striking parallels given to us from the medical world. And these resources that the medical world would give us to try to show us and teach us and train us how to contain infection and to eliminate the spreading of a contagious sickness. And so the point we provide today is very simple. If you've been watching the news at all, anybody been watching the news? Somebody, who watches news in the place? Anybody watch news? If you've been watching the news, you will have heard these points already. But please don't stand up and just go around and leave since you already heard this before. But as everyone's talking about the coronavirus, and here is the premise to the message today. If the solution for eliminating a possibly deadly contagion is to follow these steps, then I believe the solution to creating a holy contagion, the solution to creating a holy influence for the glory of Christ, can be found in ignoring and even rebelling against these steps. You've heard them on the news reports. You've already heard what to do. Here are three simple steps. Isolation. If you're sick, stay home, is what they're telling you. And then, also, secondly, they tell you, cover your mouth. If you are sick, you need to cover your mouth, and then they tell you to wash your hands. Those simple things will help you stay ahead of the game when it comes to contagion, when it comes to coronavirus. We speak of isolation. That's if you're contagious, you should stay away from others. You should shut yourself in and don't get around other people. Church sociologist Rodney Stark, in his book The Rise of Christianity, summarized that the number one factor in the growth of the early church was the strong social network that was created. The early church had a strong social network. The early church had a strong social network before Instagram and Facebook. They were socializing. Speaking of Facebook and Instagram, it's a wonderful tool. Lots of pictures of grandbabies and pets. Amen. Lots of pictures of plates of food. Aren't we really excited about all that? Seeing what everybody's eating. We're really excited about that. Well, hey, I did find out in the last month, two of my 49-year-old classmates, gentlemen, passed away. So there are things that good thing. I mean, not good. I mean, you get aware. You get information. You see what's going on. But modern studies concerning the impact of social media on society rarely deliver such good news. Today, look at it. We have more friends now, supposedly, but yet we're lonelier than ever. I've got 500 friends on Facebook, I think. But how many of those am I really connected with? No, those aren't friends, friend. Those are profiles of people that a lot of us don't know. They post pictures you don't care about. I don't really care what you had for lunch, seriously. I don't really care about the drama you're having at work. Come on now. They share opinions. You know, the whole reason I got on Facebook once, it was for political. I want to fight with people that I knew that were on the opposite extreme, and that's the whole reason. Well, there's another reason. I want to do Marketplace too, but that's why I got on Facebook. But the early church met from house to house in the temple daily, the Bible says. Friends, we have to understand that isolation, as far as it comes to kingdom work, is still the greatest weapon of the enemy. He wants to see God's people isolated, cut off from His presence, cut off from one another. The enemy's goal is to quarantine and isolate you. As kids of the kingdom, if we're going to be contagious, friends, we are going to have to refuse isolation. I'm preaching to the choir today because you're here at church. You're not just thinking, you're not one of those of the type that says, I don't need church. I just stay home. I can watch TV. But friends, yes, we can use social media as a tool to communicate to our community, but truly touching someone is the key to contagion. As a church, when we isolate ourselves and our ministries, we come about my four or no more, we lose our contagious quality. We need to pray and ask God to give us bigger and better ideas for reaching and impacting our region. 30 years ago, door knocking. 30 years ago, hanging church information on doors was effective. For the early church, it was miracles, signs, and wonders that was effective. And I think that that's the key today. It was Christians being fed to lions and boldly proclaiming their devotion to Jesus Christ no matter what, that turned the hearts of the pagans to follow Jesus in their day. So we've got isolation. Don't do it. Do the opposite. And then they tell you, cover your mouth. Cover your mouth. Friends, don't do it. Physicians know that most sicknesses are spread by germs. They are conveyed by the saliva or mucus that can be transferred by speaking or coughing or sneezing. So the contagious quality of the sickness can be lessened if those who are infected will cover their mouth. But friends, this pertains to the church in multiple ways. You see, church life involves opening your mouth. Church life involves opening your mouth. Singing, when you come to church, you sing unto the Lord. Don't say, I'm just singing in my heart. No, you open your mouth and you sing to the Lord. So we open our mouth in communication. We open our mouth in encouraging one another. We open our mouth in loving one another. We open our mouth in greeting one. These are all expressions in the Bible. The Bible says love one another. The Bible says encourage one another. The Bible says submit to one another. The Bible says agree with one another. The Bible says be kind one to another. The Bible says forgive one another. Instruct one another. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another. Serve one another. You can't do that in isolation. Accept one another. Be patient with one another. You're going to need some patience when you get around some of you out there. I'm going to need some patience when I get around some of you out there. Amen? Speak to one another. The Bible says text one another. No, that's not in there. That's not in there. The Bible says lie not to one another. The Bible says admonish one another. What's that mean? Sometimes you got to rebuke somebody, a brother or sister. Sometimes you got to tell them the truth. Sometimes you got to tell them, don't spread me that gossip. You want to talk about that person? Let's go, you and me. You got something to say about them? Let's say it about them with them in company. Admonish one another. Spur one another on to love and good works. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not in isolation. But exhorting one another. You got to open up your mouth to do that. And so much more as you see that day approaching. We've been reading about that day. Thessalonians, first book and the second book. You see, every process that Christ has for the body is reciprocal. Every process that Christ has for the body is reciprocal. We don't just receive, we give. We are not in isolation. Our mouths are not covered. You see, love is only functional when it's reciprocated. If you want people to love you, you love them. If you want people to be friendly to you, you learn to be friendly to them. You want people to talk to you, talk to them. That's funny. I hear people go to new churches and they walk into that church and they think because it's their first time there that everybody should talk to them. But who did you talk to? Oh, nobody. That's so funny though. I was at the gym last night and people are so unfriendly. A husband and wife came in and I said, hey, and I smile. I say, hi, how y'all? They didn't even respond. I guess I look, maybe it's the way I look or something. I don't know. But friend, you know what? I'll keep seeing them. And you know, you make friends. Sometimes it takes time. But friends, it's only functional when it's reciprocated. If you want people to love you, love them. As a church, if we're going to have a contagious impact on this community, we're going to have to stop covering our mouths. We have to share the testimony. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Jesus saved me. And then let's talk finally today, washing your hands. Washing your hands. I washed my hands before I prepared the communion today. Aren't you glad for that? Mike Cross, he normally prepares the communion. He always washes his hands before he does it. And we got to wash our hands. But friends, in the Spirit today, do not wash your hands. I do love the signs on the bathrooms at restaurants. The signs that say, men and women. That's helpful. Amen? It's helpful when they have signs that say, men and women. That's helpful. But I really like the signs that say, employees must wash their hands after they visited the bathroom. That's a great idea. But in the spiritual parallel, washing hands takes another light. You see, it was during the trial of Jesus that Pontius Pilate, as he was in the authority overseeing the judgment in our Master's life, that he called for a basin of water so that he could wash his hands. Symbolically, he was saying, I am not taking responsibility for what is taking place here today. You see, when a church washes its hands, it loses its contagious quality. Friends, we've got to take responsibility for the lostness that is around us. We've got to take responsibility for the prayerlessness that is around us. We've got to take responsibility for the unrighteousness that abounds. When Christ's followers fail to take responsibility, the church loses its contagious quality. Curse the idea that someone else will do it. Not only are we talking about representing Christ to individuals and the general public, friends, this includes serving in the church. Too many people wash their hands of responsibility of being a help to the body of Christ. This includes serving in the church. This includes teaching in the church. This includes leading in the church. You know, some might say, well, yes, I've served all this. I've done it so many. Let someone else do it. Yes, you've served before. Yes, you've taught before. Yes, you've led before. But curse the attitude. Let someone else do it. It's not time to wash our hands. We must all rise up and take responsibility with our words and our actions. In the physical, yes, let's all wash our hands. Let's wash our hands in the physical. But in the spiritual application, let's refuse to wash our hands. Let's be committed to Christ. Let's be committed to the head. Let's be committed to the body of Christ. Let's be committed to His church. Let's be committed to the mission of Christ, to reaching the lost. Don't wash your hands of it. Follow through with excellence in Jesus' name. Now, MFA has a community to reach. Let me say it slower. MFA has a community to reach. But a church that washes its hands of responsibility of reaching their community will lose contagious quality. Yes, it is my responsibility to reach the lost. It's my responsibility to share the gospel. So don't stay away from others. Don't cover your mouth. And don't wash your hands. Aren't you glad you came to church today? In 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes to a highly contagious church body. And it's evident that the church at Thessalonica had endured the doctor's recommendations. They said, we're not taking the vaccine. We're not getting in isolation. We're not washing our hands. The church is obviously infected with a contagious strand of faith. And that's what true faith is. It's truly contagious. Look again at what Paul says. We're nearly through. Look at verse 7 of 1 Thessalonians. So that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So we see Thessalonians were a church that was not isolated. It wasn't about them. Paul said that you were examples in Macedonia and in Achaia, implying that their infectious faith was carried even beyond those two locations. Thessalonica was a city in the province of Macedonia, and while Achaia was a neighboring province, both Macedonia and Achaia were Roman provinces, and maybe much like states or regions here in the United States. But the contagious impact of the church had infected not only their city, but their province and even the provinces beyond. It's clear that Thessalonica did not isolate themselves. And then in verse 8, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. You see, you didn't cover your mouth. You shared your faith. You shared your testimony. Paul says in verse 9, when we came to the people of Macedonia and Achaia, they told us your testimony. And when you forgot to cover your mouth when you talked. They told on you. When you sneezed, you didn't cover up. And that's good. Verse 8, your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. Paul says, we don't even need to say anything. We don't even need to spread the virus because you already spread it. They already caught the infectious faith from you. And then verse 8, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone out so that we don't need to say a thing. He said, in every place your faith has spread like a virus. Your faith has spread. You didn't wash your hands. You didn't just sit back and say, well, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, they will do it. No, they said, we will do it. They didn't go up and say it's not our responsibility. No, they didn't cover their mouth. They didn't wash their hands. They didn't stay in isolation. But they spread their faith. It was contagion. It was contagion. It was an unstoppable influence. And they passed along, dear friends, a contagious gospel. Let's do that this week. Let's do that before Jesus comes. Let's keep on keeping on, friends. Let's be contagious. I want to pray for you and dismiss you. And I know we've had lots of time at the altar today, and that's great. If you'd still like to come to the altar for prayer, you can do that at the end. And if you need prayer, I want you to come. We're not going to exclude you. But I just want to pray for us today that God will help us. And to take these simple things, we heard on Fox News this week 20 times, but you heard it at MFA today. But we're going to do the opposite in Jesus' name. Amen? Would you stand to your feet today?